Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenged Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $65 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Our next guest, one of America's premier runners, Mr. Ben True, joins us. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. So you're married to a two-time Olympian now. How exciting is that?
Yeah, superstar. It's so awesome.
Sarah True.
Great for her to get that qualifying spot this past weekend in Rio.
Yes, down in Rio, Sarah True just got her spot. Now, where were you while this was happening?
I was actually in Pennsylvania at the Poconos for the NASCAR race there.
Oh, you a NASCAR guy?
Yeah.
I just had, who did I have? Landon Castle just came on the show a couple weeks ago.
I actually went as his guest, so I was in his pit.
Oh, yeah. Were you really?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, very, very cool. A lot of runners and triathletes are NASCAR fans.
Yeah, I see it as, kind of like the 10K on the track, except they're all going so much faster.
Now, is there stuff that you guys compare notes a little bit when you talk to Landon in terms of the racing strategies?
No, I mean,
a little different when you're
going. A little bit different race strategy, yeah.
So talk about growing up. Was running always your sport?
No,
a Nordic skier, right? Nordic skiing was number one.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up on running before I really got into competitive skiing. But I grew up as a hockey player, and then my dad started training for the Boston Marathon. So he was doing that. That was a cool thing. So I started running and started getting success pretty early on, and kind of did it because people told me I was good at it. But fell in love with Nordic skiing in middle school, and that was definitely my favorite sport all through high school and college was the Nordic skiing.
But you also cross country. You ran Foot Locker.
Yep, I ran Foot Locker twice, both my junior year and senior year in high school.
And so you came to, was that in San Diego?
Yep, Balboa Park.
Pretty cool that for people that don't know, Foot Locker National Championship, I think it's still the only national championship in any high school sport. And they fly everybody in, they put them up to Hotel Del Coronado, racing at Bell Park.
They treated you very well. It was an amazing experience.
So and then off to college at Dartmouth, and now did you ski and run in college?
Yep. Cross country NCAAs is at the time used to be the Monday before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
At the end of November, and I usually would race there, and then I would immediately travel out to West Yellowstone. Montana, and do my first ski race was usually the day before Thanksgiving. So I usually had a very quick turn.
You were sort of like you were sort of like the Bo Jackson of anaerobic workouts. Then the tough part a lot of times is out of college is like, what do? You've sort of had this cocoon of support for, you know, with training partners and with support from the universities. So out of college, did you have to choose between running and cross-country skiing?
Yeah, I always knew that I was going to have to make the choice at some point in my career. People thought I had to make the choice in high school before going to college, and I really wanted to push that off and to really be able to do both in college. But I always knew that eventually I was going to have to choose between the two, because as you become more and more further along in each sport, you realize that while they do have a lot of similarities and, you know, complement each other well, there's still enough differences that you can never get your body to specialize enough into one sport to really take it to the level that I wanted to take it to. So actually it was my junior year in college, and I realized that, you know, I was done running, and I was and I wasn't running for myself anymore, but I was running for everybody else, and because they saw me as a runner, but I didn't see myself as a runner. And so I actually said, what was the one thing left I want to do in the running world? And after that, I'd be happy to step away from it and never come back. And that was to break 4 in the mile. And after I did it my junior year, I actually stepped away and fully believed that I was never going to run again, and was putting all my effort and energy towards skiing, and actually took a semester off from Dartmouth College and went out to Sun Valley, Idaho, and joined a professional ski club out there, and really threw my hat into ski ring. And it was only after that that I walked away from running, and I went full on into skiing, that I realized maybe I had made a mistake and that running was actually my calling. And so it was after that experience that I knew that once I graduated from Dartmouth, I was going to go the running path.
So were you on the Olympic path in terms of cross-country skiing? Was that the lure?
Yeah, that was a lure. I mean, I had gone to the World Juniors representing the United States and the World U23 Championships to represent the United States. I was doing, as they call it, in the pipeline to move up to you know, make more of those international World Cup and Olympic appearances. And so I was on that path. I got another sport before I was ever
So when you made that commitment to cross-country skiing, how long was it before you realized, ooh, you know what, maybe running isn't a bad thing?
It was probably took 10 months or so, and I actually buried myself in fatigue, and because I trained at altitude, and yeah. I was just stepped up my training to such another level that I really buried myself. And it was one of those things where at this point I was so far gone as far as fatigue levels that my coach was having a week off, and he would have me do 15-minute jogs every day just to try to loosen up the body and get the blood flowing. And I was so tired, I was probably running, 10-minute pace. I was probably going a mile and a half in 15-minute jogs.
Wow.
And when I was doing it, I realized that even though I was so tired and so fatigued and could, barely focus energy on anything, these 15-minute jogs were just like the highlight of my day, and everything seemed to click when I started shuffling along, and the body just felt natural. Whereas when I was skiing before, it was something that I really, really enjoyed, but it was something that I had to consciously think about constantly. It was something that I almost had to force my technique and force things through. It just didn't come second nature, whereas running always came second nature. So it was during those 15-minute jogs that I realized that, man, maybe I made a mistake walking away from running. This just feels so good.
So when you walked away from it, made you realize how much you appreciated it, that it did come naturally.
Exactly. I think the biggest thing was when I walked away from it, I was able to strip away all the early pressures and beliefs that, I think all through high school and college, I was running not for myself, but I was running for other people.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of pressure on there, and it wasn't something I really loved to do. And it wasn't until that I was able to step away and strip all that off that I realized that I actually enjoyed it, and that coming back and running for myself was the way to actually really enjoy the sport.
So then after college, you Oregon Track Club for a while, and then back to Hanover. And so you moved around a little bit trying to find the right place.
Yeah. I immediately went out to the Oregon Track Club because, graduating from college, being a little naive, thinking I had to go to a training group to get better, and what better training group at the time but the Oregon Track Club. And so I felt like that was if I wanted to make it as a runner, that was the place I had to go. And when I went out there, it just wasn't for me. I realized that the way they trained, the environment, training and racing against the same people, it just wasn't the environment that suited me very well. And I was out there for probably less than a year, and I realized that maybe it would benefit me more if, I went someplace else that I was happy as an individual first, and then be able to train at a high level. And so I decided to move back to New England, where I knew I was happy, and been in Hanover ever since.
Well, and then 2011 was the Saucony Elite team, and it seemed like you had big breakthroughs in 2011.
I mean, I think that was just a culmination of finally being in a place that I felt good. I moved back to Hanover in 2010, and just getting a year of training back under me. And it's one of those things when I graduated from Dartmouth, I knew I was behind everybody in terms of my running age and my and the amount of miles I had in my legs, just because I had always been sharing it with skiing. And so I knew that it was going to take about 5 years after I graduated to be able to get back to the level that I thought I should be at, kind of the level that I was racing against my peers in high school. It was going to take about 5 years to catch back up. And so it was just all about plugging away, and slowly started to see the results of all the hard work.
When I look at 736 for 3,000 and 1302 for 5K and 2741 for 10,000, you're obviously that era, 2011 and 2013, you were top American at the IAAF World Cross. There's something special about World Cross, and you're going back to Foot Locker days, obviously you love cross country. For people who don't know, when you talk about Daytona or you talk about the big NASCAR races, that's basically IAAF World Cross, right? That's the best of the best are there, and I'm assuming that's got to be one of your favorite races.
Yeah, World Cross is just an amazing event. It's something where, everybody from a 50 runner to a marathon runner is competing at the same race. It's not like the track where everyone specializes into their event, but it's something where everybody shows up to run 12K. And it's almost a shame that the rest of the world doesn't take it as seriously as others.
Yeah, I agree.
The U.S. Typically doesn't send their greatest runners. All the European countries don't tend to send their best runners. But for the African nations, for Kenya and for Ethiopia and Uganda and some of the other nations, that is the premier event in the world. And they almost hold that to a higher regard than the World Outdoor Track Championships. And so just being able to be in those races is phenomenal. And for the U.S., to be able to get a silver medal and beat Kenya in 2013, helping the team do that, it was an amazing experience.
Well, and especially, I don't think it was the first time since 1984 that the U.S. had knocked off Kenya, and Ethiopia wins, U.S. is second, Kenya third. I think were you sixth overall in that race?
Yeah, it was.
And I know, four national titles from 5K to 15K on the road, U.S. Road Circuit Champ 2011, but getting sixth at World Cross, most people would look at that and go, oh, I got sixth at World Cross. For you, I'm assuming that's a highlight.
Yeah, it was. And it was a huge confidence booster to know that I actually can run with the world's best.
Yeah.
And, was able to then, that year, 2013, go onto the track and say, I belong in these races, and not being afraid or timid when these guys, put big surges into the race, that knowing that, I deserve to be there, and that, I can trust myself that I can hang with the best.
Well, and in that, like you said, 2013, you got fourth at 5,000 and 10,000 at the U.S. Outdoor Track and Field Champs, and then this year you, BAA 5K, new American record, 1322. So it's like you're getting faster and faster. What did you gain a lot of confidence from that World Cross, and that's helped fuel the training since?
Yeah, it's a combination of things. Definitely the confidence is a lot higher. Also, the more years removed I am from skiing and the more years of 100-mile weeks I've put in, the bigger return I can see off of that. And also, I've just learned myself better. I've learned that, I have to really listen to my body and understand when I can push through things and when I need to, jog very slowly. I think it's one of the the positives of training alone is that I can take recovery days exactly how my body needs them. I can go run 7:30 pace and just plod along and be okay with that, or I can, you know, feel good and run along at 6-minute pace. You know, I can go completely how my body feels. And also in workouts, you know, just because a workout is written for, you know, say a Tuesday, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the best day to do that workout. And the last few years actually has been the most times I've started a workout and then bailed halfway through because I just knew that my body didn't have it that day and that there's no point of digging in the hole any deeper. And, you know, I decided to come back another day to try it again and really seeing how my body absorbs and responds to the training. And I think that level, you know, that extra level of being able to make those adjustments on the fly and listen to your body, I think that's helped significantly for me getting faster.
So what is the rest of your summer? Is it, you got Worlds coming up, don't you?
Yeah, so I'll head out. There's a pre-competition training camp in Japan for all the U.S. athletes to try and get acclimated to the time zone and stuff. So I'll fly out on the 15th, go to Japan for a few days, and then the trials are on the 26th, and then the finals are the 29th for the 5K.
Now, will you run 5K there or 10K?
Yeah, I decided that, you know, for me to be able to do the best I want to be able to do, and, you know, I don't want to just go and participate, but I want to go and, you know, run fast and hopefully place very high up. And so I felt that my best chances were to obviously do one, doing both 5 and 10. And I feel like where I am right now in my training, the 5K, going to work pretty well for me. I think winning the New York Diamond League race really helped the confidence and showed that, you know, I can close with the top guys. Being able to close with Long Zawiya, who is the number one ranked 5K guy this year, and to be able to outkick Nick Willis, who's an Olympic silver medalist, and just broke 3:29 in the 1500 in Monaco. So I know that the closing speed's there, and so, you know, hopefully be able to use that in Beijing.
Now, in next, obviously Rio's coming up, and so do you have to run a specific time for 10K and 5K, or you already have the standard?
Yeah, I already got the standard away this year.
Up at Stanford?
There are actually quite a few athletes, so I think there's, as of now, I think there's over 6 in both the 5 and the 10 U.S. athletes that have already gotten the standard. So it all comes down to top 3 at the Olympic trials,
right,
which will be at the end of June in Eugene, Oregon.
This is an interesting era. It seems like more and more the American running is back. I mean, the fact that you guys are going head-to-head with the Kenyans and Ethiopians and winning Diamond League events, and, you know, between yourself and Galen Rupp and all the guys who are out there running fast right now. It seems like you're the type of guy who likes to go to a starting line knowing that you've got a deep field there and the best of the best are on the line and that you can go head-to-head with them.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm at a point in my career that when I toe the line, I'm there's never a doubt in my mind that, you know, I have a shot of winning if the cards are played right, and, you know, I'm going to do the best I can to run with all these guys. And so, and it's cool to watch how in the last, you know, 5 years the American distance running really has started to evolve back to you know, one of the premier running countries in the world. We kind of lost it for a bit before then, when you know, we'd only have like one or two runners running sub 13:20 in the 5K.
Right.
Now we have, you know, a bunch of guys running under 13:10, and it's amazing to see the transformation and getting back to the top.
Love that. Hey Ben, thanks so much for taking time. So we have an opportunity to have two members of the same family going to the Olympics next year in Rio.
Yeah, it would be cool. Hopefully, you know, Sarah's already punched her tickets, and now it's my job to see what I can do.
And were you in London watching Sarah race?
Yes, I was. Yep.
And I'm sure that must have been really, really exciting watching her close and get only 10 seconds off the podium.
Yeah, it was. To watch her bridge back up to the group, it was amazing.
Love that. Hey, Ben, thanks so much for taking time. Congratulations on everything you're doing. Best of luck at World Championships.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Ben True has been our guest. Again, we are brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.